WRTI-FM now presents the history of broadcasting at Temple University.
WRTI-FM first began operating in 1953 as a 10-watt station reaching only the immediate community. Its history goes back farther, though, as far back as 1947 and the founding of WRTI-AM. WRTI was a pioneer in college radio. In fact, WRTI was one example presented when the FCC was thinking of restricting college radio stations to the educational FM band. The brief filed by Professor John B. Roberts, then the director of the Temple University Radio Workshop, tells the early story.
In 1947, Temple University established a radio, speech, and theater department at the liberal arts college, and with the financial assistance of radio station WFIL, built on the campus four complete radio studios and control rooms, as well as a teletype-equipped newsroom and a music library. In a dedicatory address early in 1948, Dr. Robert L. Johnson, the president of the university, dedicated the studios as a means of improving present radio standards and as a means of supplying a reservoir of trained personnel for the radio industry. The radio department of the university believed that the courses built upon theoretical discussion alone were insufficient, that students must have practical opportunity in day-to-day broadcasting to master the mechanics of radio and to develop their talents to the fullest. Accordingly, the department sought the advice of the intercollegiate broadcasting system and, with its advice, constructed facilities for wired wireless broadcasting. No other facility offers such complete possibilities for student training in radio. A complete replica of actual broadcasting conditions is possible through the use of the wired wireless system. Students have an actual audience which must be pleased. They face programming problems, as well as problems of remote broadcasting, music, news, and engineering. Today, over 200 students are receiving practical training in all aspects of broadcasting over our university wired wireless station.
And that was in 1948. WRTI's purpose was not only entertainment, but instruction and education of future broadcast professionals. The industry was pleased with such a prospect, as witness this letter to the FCC from radio station WTEL.
These stations are producing a higher class of graduate than are those without such facilities, due principally to the practical training phase of the course. In this connection, we would like to point out that we have in our employ a young engineer whose capabilities we consider above the average and who is a graduate of the Temple University Radio School.
WRTI served as a training ground for Temple students and as a program producer for a variety of Philadelphia stations, among them WFIL, WIP, WIBG, WCAU. Stations like KYW, WTEL, WFIL, WFLN, and WHAT not only expressed interest but hired graduates of WRTI. Even today, WRTI grads are spread throughout the city and the country. The program directors of WIP and WAMS in Wilmington, Delaware, for example, are WRTI alumni. Even Temple's best-known dropout, Bill Cosby, worked on WRTI as a sportsman. His well-known humorous character, Old Weird Harold, is patterned after a man he met at WRTI.
This is the Philadelphia Inquirer Collegiate Network.
On February 5, 1949, representatives of Penn's WXPN, Swarthmore's WSRN, and Temple's WRTI met at Temple and formed the Philadelphia Inquirer Collegiate Network. WFIL, so impressed by WRTI's success at Temple, agreed to pay the cost of the network hookup. Programming ran from 3 until 11 p.m., with WSRN and WXPN each supplying 2.5 hours, and WRTI supplying 3 hours of network programming per day. The radio workshop at Temple University grew, and by 1953, Temple had a second radio station, WRTI-FM. WRTI-FM began as a 10-watt, non-commercial station, sharing the basement of Thomas Hall with WRTI-AM. The transmitter signal then barely reached off campus. By 1958, WRTI-FM had grown to a station serving not just the neighborhood, but the entire metropolitan Philadelphia area. With a new transmitter installed in Conwell Hall, WRTI-FM beamed at 790 watts to the entire Delaware Valley. Music and programming on WRTI has changed considerably over the years. Originally, WRTI broadcast primarily classical music and news, talk, or drama programs. In fact, in 1948, 46% of WRTI's programs were non-musical. 35% of all programming was produced live, more than any other station in the city. Later, classical and easy listening music moved over to FM, and WRTI-AM began programming more and more popular music.
Dancing in the dark till the tune ends, we're dancing in the dark.
Today, reflecting the tastes of contemporary college students, WRTI-AM broadcasts contemporary rock, a blend of folk, rock, and popular music. FM programming is widely varied. Each day sees segments of popular music, Broadway shows and women's features, and classical music, as well as specialties like jazz, blues, even country and western. On weekends, WRTI-FM offers its listeners quality contemporary music, as well as jazz and classics. WRTI-FM is not all music, though, not by a long shot. WRTI has programs ranging from Afro-American problems to urban affairs, to dramatic reading and religious discussions. Interviews on WRTI-FM feature outstanding leaders of the community and industry, as well as popular entertainment personalities. A list of all the people who've spoken into WRTI microphones would fill a book. Just a few of them are President Harry Truman, poet Carl Sandburg, Harold Stassen, William Lloyd Garrison, Duke Ellington, Dr. Ralph Bunche, television star Johnny Carson, actor-comedian Bill Cosby, producer David Susskind, folk singer Theodore Bickel, and many, many more. Not to be forgotten are the people who made WRTI possible. People like Professor John Roberts, who founded the station, Dr. Delwyn Dusenbury, who headed the WRTI Drama Workshop, Mr. William Seibel, now head of Temple Instructional TV, and Associate Professor Lawrence Blenheim, two former faculty advisors. These men, who did so much for WRTI, have now moved on to other areas of endeavor within Temple's newly formed School of Communications and Theater. Today, following in their footsteps, are men like Dr. Kenneth Harwood, Dean of the School of Communications and Theater, Dr. Gordon Gray, Chairman of the Radio TV Film Department, and Robert Cassie, Faculty Advisor. Today, another chapter in the history of WRTI is being written. We're broadcasting from Annenberg Hall, a new building made possible by funds from the Walter H. Annenberg Foundation. We have new studio and office facilities built at an initial cost of $200,000, with complete studio facilities for stereo recording and reproduction. In the planning stages are a new, more powerful stereo transmitter and a new, more effective antenna site. Improvements for the studios continue to come almost daily. This history of WRTI-FM has been much too brief. It would take months to recount all the events, all the people connected with WRTI from 1948 till today. We can't do that. Even so, it's not our job now to look back, but rather to move forward. What you'll hear in the next few weeks and years will tell you more about WRTI than I or anyone else ever could. This is WRTI-FM 90.1 in Philadelphia.